Good morning. Welcome to Black Seinfeld's show about absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
And I am your host, Bashanissa.
I go by the name of Psyche.
And today, well, before we get into that, want to let the people know how they could help with the WBAI.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fun drive is over, but, you know, this doesn't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. So, if you enjoy the content of 99.5 FM and you enjoy this intellectual ignorance, and if you enjoy one of my mentors, Reggie Johnson, here on the audio waves, you know, hooking up every show, making sure it sounds immaculate, then, you know, throw a couple shillings at us, man. The best way to do it is going to take less than 5 minutes, is if you text to donate, you know, WBAI to the number 41444. That's text WBAI to the number 41444. Once you do that, little thing's going to come up. It's going to ask you how much you want to donate. You know, if you broke like us, you know, $5 is cool.
Out here.
We out here, man. Just you know what I mean?
Dollar slices, Arizona bottles.
Exactly. Facts. But I'm just saying, you know, whatever you're willing to donate, please do, okay? It helps keep the show alive. It helps us, you know, invest on new equipment to better the show. You know, we got a lot of things coming up soon.
Yeah, this studio is looking like a SoundCloud rapper studio.
Jeez. Wow. Shouts out to Claw.
Out here. So please, if you want to support Black Seinfeld too, you can support us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Black Seinfeld NY. And a little special announcement, we're trying to start the YouTube channel, but it's going to take some time because of video editing, which I have to learn how to do much better.
I mean, I can video edit.
No, I'm trying to do After Effects. I'm trying to go all out.
I can teach you some After Effects, but realize with After Effects and a lot of the motion graphics, it's going to take work.
That's fine.
Okay. Like, seriously, I remember final project I had to do. It was, I did a Mortal Kombat version of Hillary versus Donald Trump. It wasn't easy. I'll say that. A lot of the movement sucked.
Yeah.
It took a while. So just realize if I teach you this.
Yeah. It's going to take some time.
You're going to work.
That's cool.
All right.
In the beginning, it's going to be tough, but later on, it should be easy, right?
It should be. You'll get a hang of it. I'll say that. You'll get a hang of it.
Gotcha.
You won't work for Pixar, but, you know, you can do some stuff.
So today's episode, we're going to talk about very interesting topics, like a theory.
This is your show?
It's not even a theory. It's like something I know is facts that's going on in the business. And before we get to that.
Yeah, I want to do a little backstory. I apologize.
No, before we get to that. What? Because I wasn't here last week. I wanted to talk about some things.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go on.
No, because I wasn't here.
Fair enough. Because of the snowstorm.
No, because I was sick and the snowstorm. But there wasn't much like yesterday's snowstorm.
Exactly.
It just disappeared by midday.
Exactly.
So I wanted to talk about music because we listened to so much of it. And I had to switch from Apple Music to Google Play.
Okay.
For a very interesting reason.
Because, what's your reason?
Like, first of all, I'm trying to leave the whole Apple ecosystem.
Yeah, because Steve Jobs is rolling in his grave right now.
And because of that, there's a news article that came out about how Apple uses the Google Cloud system.
I do remember that.
And I thought that's outrageous. Like, I'm on Android, I'm using Apple Music, and they haven't updated the app in a while, and everything is laggy. There's no smooth transitions at all from Paramedic to the other track with Absol. You know how
you mean Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, Anderson .Paak too. And it's like, that was annoying me, because it was perfectly fine on my computer, but on my phone, just keep messing up.
Smooth on my Spotify, just saying.
Well, then. So I realized that I'm going to get a Google Home soon, connected with the lights in the house. And it'll be much easier if I just have Google Play, so I can actually talk to it, say, play some music for me, and I can actually control what's going on.
That's a good reason why.
Yeah. So that was my kind of, I've been on Apple Music since the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of difficult to leave.
I mean,
I got iCloud and everything.
Comfortability, you know, a lot of people are just comfortable with a lot of stuff. You know, it's always hard to make a jump and try to improve on life and liberties and and especially music. So, you know, I understand. Everything new is uncomfortable. You're getting out of your comfort zone, as we've been talking recently.
Yeah, and it's because of the ecosystem. It's something that's been popping up every now and then, especially with the new, like, Apple Home Studio. Not even Studio. It's like a listening device compared to, like, Google Home and Alexa. And I was looking into that, and it still builds a wall around other music forms, like Spotify, for example. It's like only Apple Music could use this. Only iPhone could connect this. If you have this, you have to only have an iPhone. So that's kind of one of those jumps that I'm like tired of the whole Apple ecosystem. You need to have this in order to have that. You can't use it with everything else.
And the only Apple product you have now is just the Mac.
Yeah, that's it. Because I gave away my iPad to my mom's and done with Apple Music. The MacBook is great, but I may switch it in the future. Who knows?
To a Google?
It kind of depends for what the new Macs, when they come out, if they're cheaper, are they still good? Can they give me a CD drive?
Oh, now you want a CD drive again, huh?
Nah, I'm playing. I don't want that at all. But at least give me some USBs. I don't want the C drives for everything. I think it's ridiculous. But, you know, that's what I'm looking to.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't here last week. I wanted to just run down some, you know, simple things I would have spoke about last week.
I understand. It's good to have you back. Now, before we get into this theory that you have, I want to say one thing. Sebastian is the television head over here. Okay, so when he was trying to explain this to me like 2 weeks ago, I just didn't get it.
Which I was kind of upset. It was very upsetting.
I'm sorry. I really just, a lot of the things that you were speaking about, I just didn't look at it in that way because I was raised on black television. So the television I loved was, I felt like it wasn't underrated because it was universal to black people.
Yeah.
You understand? So stuff like popular shows like Seinfeld and Friends, and yes, I've never seen Seinfeld, contrary to popular belief. I know the show's called Black Seinfeld and Friends.
I'm editing that part out.
Why not? Why? don't edit it. This is real. Nah, this is real. This is Funk Flex Bombs right now, okay? So shows like that, it just never appealed to me because I never thought they were funny.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. But after reading the Donald Glover article, I can understand where you're coming from.
Yes. So that's kind of where I wanted to start it.
Especially the Trojan horse thing.
So recently there was a Donald Glover article that dropped with the New Yorker magazine discussing his time filming and writing the show Atlanta. Within the article, he discussed that he didn't directly tell FX about what the show was originally. Because I remember, I think we discussed this a long time ago. I think it was like 2015, 2014 when they said Donald Glover got the show with FX. And it took a long time to get. And I can see why now. So my theory is our TV, like the black TV shows that are on TV right now or in the past, were they exactly what the original writers wanted?
No.
Yeah. So I actually wanted to kind of discuss that.
I'm sorry. Especially because there's a lot of N-word episodes and black people are like, oh, we shouldn't use the N-word because it's oppressive and blah, blah, blah. And then probably when you yell cut, you hear, N-word, give me some water.
Yeah. So it's like things like that. Like when the writer created the show and they gave it to the network, were they able to get the message out? Were they able to get to the point of what they wanted the show to be about?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wanted to discuss on three different shows. But for each show, I want to focus on three categories.
Shoot.
So it's the curation of the show, the marketing. You know, marketing major out here, but it's like it plays a very important role into these shows and the network's influence. So, because we read the article, I wanted the first TV show to be about Atlanta.
Okay.
So, Atlanta is a great show.
Obviously,
it came back for season two, and it's been very funny, very entertaining so
Killing
far.
It.
And the premise of the show is not even about having a rap career. It's about the things that happen during your rap career, especially if you still live in the area that you were living in before. Yep. So as a rapper, you could either have a lot of clout, per se, but not have any money. So that's what's kind of going on right now. So that's what kind of the main focus of the show is. There's a lot of changing. Season two, Robin season, off the first two episodes is making a lot of sense. What does Robin season means?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the roommate's already Robin out here.
Yeah. So the first part is the creation. And the creation of the show, you know, a lot has changed with Donald Glover. He's getting older. He got out of community, wanted to do his own things, Childish Gambino. And during that premise, he wanted the show about Atlanta and the scene of hip-hop and rap. So from there, a lot of people kind of expected him to be the rapper, which I thought so too. But he's actually playing a side role. He's still a main character, but he's more of the side characters, focusing on his cousin who is the rapper. Mm-hmm. And with that process, especially in the article, the way he described it, there's things that he put in the show that FX couldn't understand. Network's influence. So the creation and the process of it was to build a show up surrounding just Atlanta. He wanted to make it as relatable to the black culture as possible.
To the black experience.
Because even as it's strange to say that Donald Glover wasn't really one of those actors or rappers that any black person liked. It was more like, oh, this is like the white guy's rapper, you know? But he's black, so he could say the N-word. Because I've been a fan for a long time, so I definitely...
That's true.
I've been seeing that for a long time. Since Camp, you know? Camp.
Yeah.
It didn't age well, but at that time, it was very good, but like nobody liked it. People saw it as him just complaining about the things he's going through. If you listen to it now, it's like he has the right to complain about it. But back then, it's like they shun him. But he kept pushing, kept evolving. So that's why I went to, and also the marketing for the show. The marketing, if you remember, it was kind of all over the place. Bus, posters around. They had the little commercials of them walking backwards playing Tame Impala, which I was like, that was really cool to me. And they went around doing like small interviews. I don't think it was as much as they're doing now. I think Don Glover is promoting himself, the TV show, and Han Solo in a way.
He is.
So, yeah, I think it's going well for him career-wise, especially because his album was excellent. And he's going to be in The Lion King. So he has a lot going on, and he's also working on another TV show.
And he's a dad.
He has two kids now. So a lot has changed for Donald Glover, and he kind of put his life into the TV show because in the TV show he also has a kid. So now let's talk about the network's influence on the show itself.
Okay.
So you want to talk about...
Oh, the character of Earn?
Yes.
So the character of Earn is interesting because he's basically a screw-up. He went to Princeton, but he dropped out, and so he's really at this crossroads in his life. Because he's broke. I mean, he has a girl, he has a kid, and he has no means of supporting him. So the first episode, the pilot episode, he was like, yo, hey, cuz, I see you've been doing this paperboy stuff. And the cuz already know, like, look, I already know what you want. You want in on the paperboy. I get it. You know, I'm blowing up. He tries to become his cousin's manager. And
yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
So he's trying to find some means of survival. So music, managing his cousin who has some buzz right now in Atlanta, seems like a good fit, but you know, things aren't that easy, especially with the music industry, because you know it's a struggle. You don't know, not everyone gets in, and yeah, everyone is broke.
Yeah, and the network definitely didn't expect the show exactly what it became, because like I said before, they thought that Don Glover would make this whole coming up of like, it's like this TV show Fame, like just trying to become famous artists.
Yeah, it's always like a lot of shows, a lot of executives want this like coming of age story where there's like a good ending, but it's practically the opposite in Atlanta because we don't know what's going to happen. And if it's a bad ending, you know, that's a part of life.
Yeah, it's very realistic.
Yeah,
but there's some the way he described it, there's some aspects that he couldn't get through to the network because they didn't understand, like his relationship with Van.
Right.
And I thought it was very interesting that how he explained that he needed like a white translator to get it through them, especially using the N-word in the show.
Yeah, that was a big thing, especially because the executives didn't want the N-word to pop up as much as it does in Atlanta. But the argument is, you want me to make a show about black people and black culture, and I can't say the N-word. What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's a disconnect.
And I was watching Black Lightning, and there's a scene where one of the kids said ninja. It's like, no way. You didn't have to say it, but they put it there, and you kind of put it together.
Right.
So I was like, you didn't even have to say ninja. Mm-hmm. You know, just skip the whole
just
part.
Just skip the whole thing.
But it adds like a certain layer to it where you kind of understand that they couldn't say it. They probably wrote in the script, and CW was like, no.
There's so, no N-word
so
allowed.
This is like the network's influence.
But this is CW, though. This is like... Remember, if you didn't have cable, the television that you did have was 2, 4, 5,
yeah.
7, 9, 11, 13.
Definitely.
I don't think you could say the N-word on that channel.
No, definitely not. Different times. WB, CW 11.
Neither could Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah. And before we get to Gerard Carmichael, the network's influence, because this is FX we're talking about. FX has completely changed from what it was years ago. They don't even have It's Sunny in Philadelphia anymore. They actually threw that to another network, FXX. Mm-hmm. That's their secondary network. And in the premise of controlling the TV show, when you're the way he explained it, it's like the show could have been a lot blacker than it's supposed to be. It's just there's a lot of ideas that they gave to the network. They put it down. The network's like, oh, we can't do that, or we can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's too raw.
It's too raw. So now I want to get into Gerard Carmichael's show on NBC.
Yep.
Which almost has the same premise because they like to talk about social issues. Yeah. This is the black show. This is kind of what black shows go through.
Right. You know, but the thing I like about...
You want to break down what the show Carmichael's show is?
But the thing I like, though, about Atlanta, it's not Tyler Perry-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to go through what every black show or black movie goes through. Like it's just embedded in it without beating you in the head with it.
There's a small joke about Tyler Perry where I do remember I was at the gym and they were showing House of Pain. No, not House of Pain. Meet the Browns.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
So that guy is very funny.
Yeah,
but
he's
the show
a great character.
is out of place.
It's Tyler Perry.
It's Tyler Perry. So there's an episode where they're talking about smoking weed, and it just got out of place. Like he smoked weed once, and he just beat up his girlfriend. I was like
come on, that doesn't happen. You smoke weed, you probably gonna be hungry, happy, and sleepy. Let's be real about it.
And that's kind of the also Atlanta, the way Childish Gambino explained it, is like black people don't have time or money for therapy.
Right.
So this is their therapy.
Weed.
They have a lot of issues going on in their life, so it's weird. Well, like you said, it's not Tyler Perry-ish. It doesn't focus on like, oh, you can't do this.
Yeah, it's realistic. Like when Paperboy and Darius are smoking weed, they just chilling because that's what we do.
And it's not part like they bring it up like, oh, you smoking. It's more like this is part of the scene. And
exactly.
You're just going to.
It's just
it.
What they do.
Because a lot of people do that.
Exactly.
So want to run down what Gerard Carmichael's show is?
All right, Gerard Carmichael's show is. Wait, is he married in this, or is it just his girlfriend?
Yeah, girlfriend.
Okay, so...
You remember they had a whole episode of living together out of wedlock.
Right, but then their parents are... I think... Do their parents live with them now?
No.
No, so...
No, he comes back and forth to his parents' house.
Oh, okay. I don't really know the premise. It's just a black guy doing black things, man.
No, that's it. That's
really
much
it.
He
has a brother.
It's a Bill Cosby-esque. A sitcom show where every episode they discuss different things.
Yeah.
And depending on the topic and the idea, it's relatable to a certain character.
Or depending on how white it can be.
Yeah. Oh, what's the actress in there now?
Tiffany Haddish?
Yes, Tiffany Haddish was in there.
And Lil Rel Howery.
And Lil Rel. So it's funny, like, this is the show they were, like, probably a year before they blew up.
Right.
To their own solo careers.
Yeah, and plus, I've been knowing Tiffany Haddish for years because she used to be on VH1's, like, I Love the 80s and I Love the 90s and all that, so
yeah.
I've been knowing about Tiffany Haddish for a while.
You know she's also in Meet the Browns, too?
I didn't know that.
She plays a nurse.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Once you see her, it's like, I was very shocked. I was like, oh, she was in this. The energy is still the same.
Yeah.
Because she's very talkative. She bites more than she could chew.
All right, so break down the Carmichael show for the
That's kind of the concept of the Carmichael show. It's like the Bill Cosby-esque show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the marketing for the Gerard Carmichael show. And don't get me wrong, the show is really, really good. It's just sometimes I forget that it exists.
Yeah.
Because it's not anywhere. Yeah, they had the posters on the bus, but that was only for like season three. They started the show Wednesday, and they're just trying to push Craig Davidson.
Right.
He had a TV show at the time, too. So they put both of those TV shows up at the same time to see if they could both work. Both two black TV shows, but one was more interesting than the other. I did like Craig Davidson's show, but it just didn't work out. Six episodes canceled. And
it happens.
It happens. It's NBC, too, so they're really just testing the waters out. Gerard Carmichael was able to get a lot done within the first 12 episodes. So that got a season two. But the problem is that they ain't market the show enough. They ain't put it out there for everybody to see.
I agree.
And from that premise, the network's influence, especially for there's this big debacle during the shooting. They had a shooting episode where Gerard Carmichael was like not part of it, but he was in the moment of when there was a shooting in the bank. And NBC stopped that episode from airing.
Why?
Because it was too close to... There's a lot of school shootings. I don't recall which one in particular it was. Mm-hmm. But they made sure not to play that episode because of it. And that was kind of the sign... Like, the network always had their hand into things. But that was like the kind of the last straw for Gerard before he himself decided to leave the show. And it's the Gerard Carmichael show. You can't have the show without him.
Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah, he's in the title. So it was more of the what was Gerard Carmichael trying to do with this TV show? What were the writers trying to convey with all, like, every episode had a message where they played all sides of the black card?
Yeah.
So, like, the dad was playing, like, ignorant. Like, he understands,
mm-hmm.
but ignorant because he doesn't have all the knowledge. The mother was very religious, so Jesus was first for everything.
Don't you realize, like, that's that actress, right, that plays Gerard Carmichael's mom? She's always in the Jesus role.
Yeah.
Always. Tyler Perry movies, Tyler Perry shows, and Almost Christmas, was it?
Yeah.
Almost Christmas?
You watched that movie?
I did see Almost Christmas, for Monique, of course.
No. Anyways... Yeah, she plays a lot of... I think she understands that character is a joke, too. Because that's like everybody's great aunt or something.
Yeah. Does she even like playing that?
I think so, because she has the voice for it. So it's like she created the spirit for it.
Yeah, I guess.
So you have Gerard Carmichael's brother, who's like...
Lil Rel,
who's like a hustler. And, you know, Gerard Carmichael is a comedian. He just does the everyday
thing. Forgot his ex-wife.
Yeah. His ex-wife.
Tiffany Haddish, who's Tiffany Haddish.
Who has the hood aspect of things.
Who's Tiffany Haddish.
Then his girlfriend, who's like the more liberal sense.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of plays...
Is she mixed, though?
And she's mixed.
Show? Yeah, yeah.
So she kind of plays both sides of the force, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
So her ideas, it's kind of the start for most of the conversation.
Right.
So that's what his show was kind of about. It's about black people, all different sides of black people, and how they react to certain topics.
Yeah.
I can tell you the show was really, really good, but because of the network's influence and how they kind of delayed episodes, they didn't want to discuss certain topics, they had a big hold on the show, which is the reason why he ended the show. And the marketing, it's just they couldn't get the views that they needed.
Hopefully Netflix can pick it up.
No, like, he's done with that show. Yeah, now he's going to produce Lil Rel's show on Fox.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Why can't you just go on Netflix or Hulu or something, dog?
Because Gerard Carmichael is really smart, where he's able to get big contracts with other networks, like he did with NBC.
Okay.
I forgot what other company he was working, but it was another network working with NBC, working with Gerard Carmichael.
Okay.
It's very complicated, but no one really knows how he did it.
All right, next show.
The next show is Black-ish.
All right, I already know the premise for this one.
All right, let them know.
The premise for Black-ish is a black family, a wealthy black family, in an all-white neighborhood, but they're still trying to hold on to their black culture. Basically, that's it.
Yeah. So
Oh, yeah, and try to keep their kids black because especially the son over here. I don't know, man. That man was a Republican.
That was a funny episode.
He couldn't play basketball. No, let me stop. Yeah.
Yeah. He was interested in other sports. It was kind of the... It's like how hip-hop it is today.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it, it's like, oh, it's changed. It's different. It's not hard and heavy as it used to be. Then you look back, like, was it necessary for it to be hard and heavy? So this is what the show kind of goes over. Like, they look back in the past, like, yeah, they used to do this, but wasn't really necessary.
True. And where do you want to get into now? The marketing?
And also, it's a Kenya Barris show, and he's really known for producing a lot of TV shows. Most notable was Tyra Banks' Top Model.
Oh.
That's why they're actually really, really good friends. That's okay. Why Tyra Banks is on Black-ish as Dre's best friend because they grew up together. So it's like he's playing himself on the show. But the marketing was actually really good for this show.
I saw it everywhere.
It's an ABC show. They're using
Bow down to the mouse.
They're using the same energy that they use for Modern Family. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for a family show. And Fresh Off the Boat was also promoted at the same time.
Yep.
That's another show that I could actually discuss that how they control the marketing because, what's his name?
Eddie Wong.
Eddie Wong wanted the show to be much more serious.
Yep.
Than it actually became. Now it's just a comedy sitcom with an Asian family.
Yeah.
In a white neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he really wanted to discuss, like, parents beating kids and different aspects, but off the first five episodes, he lost full control of the show.
Yeah.
So now he's just part of it getting paid. So what could he do? I don't know. It's very difficult for him.
But back to Black-ish.
Back to Black-ish, which kind of is the same thing. You know, black family, white neighborhood, trying to keep their culture together. The marketing was outstanding. It was everywhere. But the network influence was there, too.
Yeah, one of the episodes I didn't really like was when the son sang the Kanye West track, Gold Digger.
Yeah.
Then he said the N-word, and then everyone was like, oh, my God, you said the N-word, and da-da-da-da. Man, he was just singing Kanye.
They wanted to ban him from the school.
Right.
Because it's funny because the mother, I think one of the kids said it, so the mother made a program saying no one could ever say that. Now, her son said it, and... It's like they try to ban,
like, bro,
ban him.
Like, see, and that's the thing, and that's the thing that I had a problem with is because, again, probably say the N word off script, off screen.
Yeah, it's just like most of these shows. Yeah, it's not authentic, and most of these shows want to broadcast like they want everybody to relate to the show,
right?
Like the Juneteenth show, Juneteenth episode.
True. And while I do know there's a lot of black people who do not use it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also people who still use it, dog.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just facts of life. You know, when it comes to black folk and that word, you can get a mixed reaction
mm-hmm.
based on it. You know, when you talk to an elder, they definitely will not enjoy that word. And if you talk to a young person, we're using it out of style. So it's just a fact of life. I'm sorry.
That's kind of how it is.
It is.
So the network's influence. Like recently, they had an episode discussing Dre now has a new baby and was discussing like the politics of today
mm-hmm.
and how he's afraid for his son in the future because it's a lot different than like 15 years ago from his other son and daughter. Like Donald Trump's president, and also they kind of went over the NFL with the kneeling down.
Right.
So that was kind of the premise of the episode. But Barris and ABC, they couldn't figure out, like, there's a middle ground.
There's no middle ground to this. It's either you with it or you not.
So they actually, this happened like last week. It's funny. I'm writing this show and this came up. It's like, oh, perfect. This is like more evidence how the network just grabs everything. So the episode was supposed to come out, and they canceled it from premiering. They played a rerun, and next week is just the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, people are fighting, trying to make them drop the episodes. Like, what did they go? It's not important what they said.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how ABC allowed that to happen.
It's politics.
It's politics. They have their own money in the NFL. I know that.
Heck yeah, man.
But it's like, oh, we can't put this episode up because we feel like it will affect the viewership.
Of what, the NFL?
No, of
Black-ish?
Black-ish. But Blackish has always been pushing the envelope. That's kind of the whole premise of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So the influence of these networks, they're really taking control of these black shows. Like, we love all these black shows. We think they're the best, but they're not as good as they should be. They're good enough, like, compared to other things.
So you're saying it's not black enough?
No, I'm not saying it's not. Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say, essentially.
Yeah, because the writers understand what black is.
Right.
So when they're writing a show, they know what they need to put on paper.
It's just these colonizers that don't understand what being black is, and they never will.
Yeah.
They never will.
And so they're kind of controlling what the output product is. And that's kind of my problem with it.
I agree with, you know what? I agree with your theory.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for doubting you.
Yeah.
And I can see it with movies as well.
Yeah.
It's the same with movies.
It's very heavy in movies. And maybe in 10 years, we could talk to Ryan Coogler about how.
Well, I got to be in 10 years.
Because
man.
That's when, like, the contract will be over and stuff. Because you still bring. You know, he's trying to come back for Black Panther 2 and 3 and 4. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So it's like later on, they said, yeah, they're holding us back. We couldn't do this, couldn't do that. You know, you don't want to say anything to early. Later on, you have to talk smack.
That's true.
So we're halfway through the show, and
more than halfway.
Yeah. So I want, you know, it's still Women's History Month.
That's right.
I'm trying to follow the theme from last week because I did listen to that episode.
Thank you.
I wanted to choose a song by Sade called Baby Father.
Hey.
We were waiting for the bus. No one much around but us. Then I see this young boy cut to look at me. I'm stung in a daze. He had the whole street set ablaze. So that love, they say, makes you feel this way. She liked his eyes. Wanted more. The baby gonna have your smile for sure. He's so a lovely girl, smelling sweet and soapy like fresh air. She saw him looking, acted like she didn't care. That's how we knew. So love grew a flower that is you. Your daddy knows
you're a flame.
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 Oh, your daddy knows.
Welcome back to Black Seinfeld Show about absolutely nothing here at WBAI 99.5 FM New York.
Intellectual ignorance straight in your ear.
Yeah, I'm bashing this up.
I go by the name of Psyche, and before we continue with the show, just want to say a nice rest in peace to some of the GOATs. One being one of the first signees of Bad Boy, Craig Mack, Flav in Your Ear, okay? One of the biggest records that came out of Bad Boy, okay? He was a one-hit wonder, yes, but that song still lives on forever. And he died young, man. He was like 46.
Yeah.
Due to heart failure. That is crazy. That is wild. That's so unexpected, man. Life is something.
One of the many discussions we have in hip-hop, especially with the older people.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we just want our legends to take care of themselves, yeah, man. Because I understand, you know, black people, we go through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, diabetes being one of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just take care of yourselves, man. It's so unfair. I mean, think about it. You know, Donald Trump is out here drinking like 12 Diet Cokes a day, yeah, eating like a kid, and he is alive and well. Meanwhile, we got Craig Mack, who's only 46, and he's just gone.
Yeah.
And also, this was recent, too. Like,
this morning.
Yeah, 2 hours ago. Stephen Hawking, he was, what, 76?
Yeah.
Yep, 76, which, you know, I ain't mad at. That's cool. I'm not really sad about Stephen Hawking because, you know, he old. I'm sorry. But I understand all the contributions he's made, though. Like, the whole black hole concept, that was Stephen Hawking. And recently they came out with a movie about Stephen Hawking. It's starring the guy.
I watched it.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
It's starring the guy who's in the Fantastic Beasts series.
Yeah, it's much more interesting than I thought his life was. In the beginning, like, I understand the science and adding, but it's like his life.
Right.
That's what it was about.
Just the man.
Just the man. So very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So RIP to Stephen Hawking, and fittingly enough, it's 3.14 day, so he died on Pi Day.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Hmm. Didn't think about that.
Yeah. He died. He died on the numbers, man. That's a great way for him to go out.
Interesting.
RIP to the greats that have influenced American history and philosophy and culture.
Gotcha. So let's finish up the topic before we move into music.
Oh yeah, go on.
So
probably not get into music today, but all right, let's go.
So is there any other particular shows that crossed your mind over the past year? Now I put the theory in your mind, like something like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You definitely went through some changes.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So this,
like, I can see it.
So any other show in mind? Do you?
Let's see.
Because I put down like Living Single as one of the shows that ended roughly because the network gave up on them because they couldn't get in the same viewership as Friends.
As Friends, which is not fair.
Yeah. So that's kind of how they just got canceled, even though it was a very popular show. In the beginning,
I'm trying to think. Bernie Mac,
yeah,
was fire.
Yeah,
was a fire show.
That show was on Fox.
It was on Fox. I'm trying to think about a network influence on the Bernie Mac show, though. Can you think of anything?
Not particularly, because everything's always so fitting to him. It's always like him yelling at his nephews and nieces.
Yeah, and I love the Bernie Mac show because, you know, he was talking to America.
Yeah.
You understand? He's like, America, I'm tired of these goddamn kids.
Yeah.
Every episode.
It was real. He was very focused.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about some other ones.
I was thinking about the UPN 9 shows.
Oh, like Girlfriends and...
Girlfriends ended abruptly.
Yes, we never got a fitting ending to Girlfriends.
I just feel like you could actually do that now. It's like, oh, you know, two-hour episode.
Hey, man, if they want to bring back Will and Grace and all that and Gilmore Girls, they could bring back Girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually are doing all that, as you just said.
Exactly. Bring back Girlfriends.
They're bringing back your favorite show, though.
What's my favorite show?
Martin.
Yeah, they bring him back. See, but it's not the same, though, man.
Yeah, because it ended... Because of internal conflict.
Right. And now it seems like the internal conflict is now diluted and everything is past them. But there's no more Tommy, though. You know what I mean? Like, not all the pieces are together. You understand? I don't think you can recreate.
It's like
that goodness.
They're presented with a contract that they couldn't. They didn't want to pass. It's like, you know, making more money in a way,
mm-hmm.
right? Kind of not really. Yeah, by basically reliving their prime.
Right. I don't think you can do it. It's like bringing back my wife and kids. Like, no.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Don't do it. I don't think there's certain shows that you shouldn't bring back. Martin's one of them. Girlfriends, I totally get, is unfinished. And I want to see Girlfriends again. I actually like that show. I loved that show when I was young.
Yeah.
And it used to come on right after SmackDown.
It's weird because after CW11 took over, it became a thing. This was 50-50.
My Nine.
Yeah, My Nine just is this weird channel that just takes old shows from USA. What the only shows that they kept was Everybody Hates Chris and Girlfriends. And they allowed Everybody Hates Chris to end, even though they get canceled the like probably a couple episodes before.
Yeah.
So they kind of fixed it where it ended. Because remember, he did drop out. In real life, he did drop out of high school in 10th grade.
Yep.
So that's kind of how it ended for the GED episode, because he took the test for that.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. But yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to go, like, kind of go over. And also, it is a bit easier now to go over their, to create content without going through anybody. It's like we have like Facebook and the people, the same people that were popping on Vine. Vine ended, so now they had to focus on their YouTube channels and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to kind of put their shows on YouTube. No full length, it'd be 10-minute shows.
Look at Money and Violence.
Yeah.
Look how successful that was.
So they're able to evolve in different platforms, especially the streaming networks, where they have much more freedom and a bigger budget, too.
Yeah. And plus, you also have Lena Waithe with The Chi on Showtime,
which is
pretty authentic.
You watch it?
I watch it. I rock with The Chi, man.
Interesting.
And it's a thing to me. I don't know if you've been noticing this, but like, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of certain rappers. One is being DJ Khaled, and the second one is Common. Common is everywhere. Common is on The Chi.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's like this. He was this former gangster turned to Muslim. And he has his own mosque or whatever, so he, you know, he's trying to convert all of the
youth,
not even the youth, just all the gang members to Muslims. Oh, like, that's his thing.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, I feel like Common. Like, I love you and all, Common, but like, yo,
it's a Showtime show.
It is on Showtime.
Interesting. And HBO also has Insecure,
one of my favorite shows. You need to get on that.
Yeah,
need to get on that, man.
But yeah, do you feel that there will be some mental changes? Like,
no, because in my opinion, Insecure captures what Issa Rae wanted to give to the youth, and that is black women, black girls, the black woman experience. That's literally Insecure, because it's about Molly and it's about Issa.
Yeah,
it's revolved around them, and they give a lot of insight on certain aspects of black womanness that I did not know about.
So So that's kind of the premise from the show, is able to fulfill it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to see if there's like how much of a hold does HBO have on them? Because I know it's like free range network; you can do whatever you want.
Especially the music is fire, too.
Yeah, so because they got the contracts for it, so they can play whatever they want.
mm-hmm.
But it kind of puts me into this perspective, like Netflix shows. Like, are they as free as they say they are?
I don't know, because Luke Cage, sometimes it's not authentic.
Well, Luke Cage doesn't count.
Why not?
Because I'll put it in the same tree as I'll put it in the same section if it was on the ABC show, because it's still Marvel.
Right, but it's a mature Marvel, and this is a Netflix Marvel. This is too complete. It's different.
They're still able to follow the same format.
Right, but they shouldn't, because it's on a streaming service. It should be different.
Yeah, well, it's the.
I mean, it kind of is different.
Yeah,
it is a little bit, but still not black enough for me.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I wanted to go over. Like, are the shows that we're getting that we're very excited about really the shows that the writers themselves are pushing? It's very hard to get a show up. So are they getting exactly what they wanted, especially with the contracts they're getting? So that was kind of what I wanted to talk about today. So want to get into talking about music?
Yeah, sure. Let's get into the music. Great.
We haven't really discussed any new projects that released. So one project I want to talk about. David Bryan, American Utopia. It's a very interesting project. It's a bit all over the place lyric-wise, but if you want to listen to something interesting and you want to be surprised by interesting singing and writing, like Bjork-level type singing and writing skills and orchestra-type music, it's synth-based pop, definitely check out that album. Also, Young Fathers dropped a new album. It's like rock, pop, bass music. Cocoa Sugar. You should definitely check it out. It's pretty interesting. I think you'll like this one. But I don't think you'll like this one. Logic, Bobby Tarantino 2.
No, I do not.
I wanted you to
like
listen.
Logic, Bobby Tarantino 2. Oh. I don't know why you wanted me to listen to Logic.
There is this. Okay. One thing I do have a problem with rappers nowadays is like having their own sound. And Logic does have his own. No, he doesn't really. But
no, he
doesn't. But you understand what he likes to rap about. He likes to rap about his past.
I know.
And what he wants to push for the future.
And he likes rapping about his mixedness.
Yes, I understand that. That's things that he goes through. But for the Bobby Tarantino, it's like he wants to fit in with the mainstream culture. So
he's been doing that with his last album too. He always try whatever popular sound is hot. He's going to try and do it, too. And that's what I don't like about Logic.
So, well, in this one, he really stepped into the trap influence.
Yep.
To the point where it felt like he was copying even rappers like Travis Scott, which is unnecessary to do. Just ask him to come on the track. Because he did, like, look in the feature. He did other features.
Yeah, it's like he was listening to Rodeo and all that stuff. He's like, hey, I'm going to duplicate it. See, look, this thing about Logic, right? Logic, he's a great guy. I like his personality. I like the whole Rick and Morty stuff. I like that you can fix a Rubik's Cube really fast and all that.
And
I like
answer
that.
Questions.
I like that stuff. I like tracks like Contra and all that. I like that. But you're trying to. I feel like you're not being you for some reason in your music. Like, be that nerdy kid. I'm cool with that. Just don't try and duplicate a sound that's popular just because it's big right now. Do what you do, man. You could be like Lil Dicky. I like Lil Dicky because he's himself. You know what I'm saying? He's a comedian, rapper, and he talks about, I don't know, like...
Nonsense.
Stupid nonsense about saving money and stuff. Logic, you don't have to... I'm not saying you have to be Lil Dicky, all right? I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, be real.
Just be real, man. Like, rap about Rubik's
Cubes.
Take your
nice
stuff.
Rap skills and put them into something interesting.
Right. Rap about, I don't know, Rubik's Cubes or something, man. Or Szechuan sauce.
We did complain about... Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to bring up. He had a Rick and Morty intro. I thought it would be equivalent to how Kid Cudi had Beavis and Butthead.
Right. It's not like Speed and Bullets.
No. It's,
that's so not like it, man. I prefer this intro over Speed and Bullets.
Okay.
You know that.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I just wanted to throw that out there because it kind of... That's what kind of... Because it made me cringe. So I was like, hey, this reminds me of Speeding Bullet.
No, it does not.
it's a very interesting album. You guys should not listen to it. one of my favorite albums that dropped.
You're bugging as usual.
Lil Yachty.
Oh, gosh.
Lil Boat 2.
Oh, gosh.
Most people are surprised that I'm actually a big fan of him.
I'm still shocked that you're a fan of him.
Because I'm interested in like lyrics and production. But... This kid, he knows what he's doing. He didn't drop a good album, and he understands why, but he did go back to not his original sound.
He went to his original premise
of what he is as an artist.
And what is he as an artist?
Just talking smack. But it's about how you talk smack. That's what you don't get.
Man, Lil Yachty, Lil Boat 2 is, I feel like he's the fourth member of the Migos. That's exactly what Lil Yachty is, and that's what Lil Boat 2 is.
But it was more, I would say that he did try different flows.
He tried. I mean, he tried to rap.
No. He did rap.
He tried.
He did excellent in every one of his songs, and he kept the premise as the Lil Boat versus Lil Yachty concept.
I'm waiting for Yachty to grow up. I'll wait till he's like 25. He'll start making some stuff then.
Anyways, please check out the album.
Don't check out the album.
It's really good.
Mixtape. Don't do it.
But, you know, it's on streaming services.
It's not even a mixtape. We need to stop this, too. We need to stop calling mixtape and having people pay for them. All right? Because they're not mixtapes.
You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, you do.
Well, then, I don't know what to say.
It's not on Dat Piff.
Do you want old Dat Piff mixtapes? You want to hear Dat Piff in every song?
I do want to hear datpiff.com.
And you want to hear it's DJs, nostalgic. You want to hear DJs put their name throughout the entire song?
That's what makes mixtapes.
That's annoying.
I want to hear Kaluminati or Damn Son, Where'd You Find This? Or Oh My God, that's what makes mixtapes, Bastion.
So
I'm tired of these paying for mixtapes, paying for playlists, paying for all that. If it's a mixtape, it's got to be free.
Okay. Right? So anyways.
Did you pay for Dedication 2?
No, I did not.
Okay, then.
Did you pay for Dedication 5?
Why would I? No.
6?
No.
That was the recent one.
I know.
It was up for streaming.
Oh, nah. Dedication 6 was fire, though.
Whatever.
It was fire.
The only fire song was the one that he killed Lil Uzi Vert in. That's it.
No, you didn't like Family Feud?
Anyways, so today.
You bugging, bro.
So this is the end of the episode, Black Seinfeld, show about absolutely nothing. Please check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we're definitely going to try to work on the YouTube channel for you to follow up. Anything else you have to say to the people?
Don't listen to Lil Yachty. Don't do it.
It's a great album.
No, it is not.
And we'll be back next week. Peace. Good morning.